Nothing on anyone's heart. We're going to take a reading lesson this morning out of the second chapter of the book of James. James chapter 2. I'm just going to start reading in the first verse. It says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of the world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty in all. For if he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say that he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I'm going to stop my reading lesson there this morning. And as we were thinking this week, we were thinking about our effort tent meeting that's coming up, and some of these... You know, I just got to thinking about how there's a lot of work that's involved in doing this, in this effort that's coming up. There's a lot of things that has to be handled, and a lot of things that has to be done to make it to be successful. We've talked about a lot of things here of late, and I may try at the end to put some of this stuff together, but... For a purpose this morning, I guess we might think about how our actions speak louder than words, and a lot of times in the things that we do. Our mission efforts are essential to the spreading of the gospel. Many think that we're in a church and that we come to church, but each and every one of us that have gathered here this morning are missionaries, in a sense of the matter. We don't live here. We don't sleep here. We leave this building and we go. We go home. We leave here and we go out, and we are in the presence of many other people, most of us, through our day's time. Some may not be so many, but... throughout the week, there are going to be those that we come in contact with. And in that contact and in that thing, there is you consider yourself or could consider yourself to be on a mission field. Most of the people that we run into, from my experience, don't believe like we do. They may have a type of church they go to. They may have some sort of religious background or something, but as far as truly believing in salvation by grace through faith, repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, repenting unto the saving of your soul, and that being a personal relationship between them and God, there's not a lot of other places teach that. We have been given a commission. You know, we say this very, very often. You know, we've been commissioned as a church to go out into the world, to go out and teach and to baptize. To teach is a big thing, a big part of what we do. I believe a big part of the success that we have as individual missionaries in our lives, whether it be with our family or whether it be with our friends, our co-workers, whatever it might be, I believe that has to do with us teaching them what we believe to be true. Us standing up for what we know true salvation is. Us being able to tell somebody what has happened to us through and by our testimony of grace that has been applied to our heart, that change that came about when the Lord saved our soul. That moment in time where we were lost and the Lord saved our soul and then we were saved, that we were one of His, that we're a child of God from that point on. And, you know, it's that effort and it's that work that goes out into the missions. And it's not to be... We consider many times as missionaries minded, a missionary support minded church, that we support our missionaries and that our missionaries are abroad. They're out setting up churches. We can go into the Acts of the Bible and we can read where Apostle Paul went and on his four missionary journeys, and he set up churches and he'd go around and he would check on them, and he went around and he preached Jesus to them. He preached the true way of salvation. He preached repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And people were saved and there was churches set up and there was things done. And you know, that was a calling upon his life. And I believe that there are people and that there are men that are callings upon their life. That is their job to be missionaries, to be able to reach people and to talk to them. But I also believe that it is our part of our responsibility as a body of Christ, as He has placed each and every one of us, and that as members of this church, as He has placed each one of us in here for a particular reason and a particular purpose, that we are also missionaries when we walk out of this building. That we are also supposed to be able to work and to tell people. And I believe these, you know, if mission efforts are essential, and I'm talking about the missions here within this church, the missions that is personal to you, each and every one of you in your lives, whether it be your family, whether it be your friends, your co-workers, it's essential to the growth of this church and to what it means to this church that we are missionaries. It is essential. It is so important that we are telling people about Jesus and that we are inviting people to come and hear about Jesus, and that every time we see them, we invite them and we talk to them and we tell them whether we know them or not. It is essential to the growth of this church that we be missionaries. Missionaries in our own lives, not going out into a foreign country. I mean, You know, I don't know. The Lord may put on somebody's heart that they are supposed to support or do or to go somewhere to help or something. I don't know about that. But I'm just speaking personally about the lives of each and every one of us that we live. We live in a mission field. All of us do. I know all my neighbors around me, I don't know if any of them goes to church. I've invited them. I've invited them to come. I don't know if any of them go. I know some of them do go. But they go to a different kind of church. A kind that I don't believe, that believes in the true way of salvation. So, as far as this goes, you know, you think about... You can just think about this church, for example. It started most likely as a mission, didn't it? As a work. There was somebody coming here and started preaching, and people started coming, and it turned into a church. The Lord blessed it. He saved lost people, and it turned into a church. But when it first started, just think of all the work that went into it. All the effort, all the building of this building, and all the things that had to come about for this to be Faith Missionary Baptist Church that you know today. There was a lot of work. There was a lot of effort. There was a lot of things that went on. And all these things that are behind the scenes that we take for granted many times is so very important. All the work that it takes to come about to do whatever we're doing is important. Everything. You know, we've got, like I said, we've got this tent meeting come up. You know, there's going to be a lot of work involved. There's going to be, somebody's going to have to go get the tent. Somebody's going to have to come out here and set it up. Somebody's going to have to set up everything to go out there, set the chairs out. There's work involved in it. That's part of it. It's a part of work that we do. That's necessary. It's a necessary part of it. It's essential. And, you know, granted, you may think that the word work just simply means that we are telling people about Jesus. Well, there's a lot of different things that we can do. And in our reading lesson here, it spoke about all these different things, about how we are to, how we are to act around people. It tells us here very clearly that we're not supposed to treat somebody any better that is seemingly rich rather than poor, not being judgmental and all these different things, and how to treat that, to love your neighbor. Over here in the 12th verse, I guess, is where I would get my thoughts this morning. It says, "So speak ye and so do, that as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So speak ye and do so." It's important that we speak and do. That we say that we're this and we do what we say. When we go about, you know, if we're blessed, if the Lord blesses us with people that would come in to our tent meeting through this effort and through this work, if He blesses us, you know, it tells us plainly, it doesn't make any difference who they are or what they're wearing, that we're to treat them the same, right? And I think we all know that. I don't think anybody here feels that they're better than anybody. Please don't get me wrong when I say this. But many times, it is what it is. And we have to be careful about that, because people see what we say and they see what we do. They see our actions. They know if they're wanted or not. How many times have any of you walked in a room and you knew you were just uncomfortable because you didn't feel like you were supposed to be there? Or you knew that you weren't wanted there? You could feel it. You could know it. It's something that should never be in the Lord's house. There should always be love in the hearts and the lives of each one of us. You know, works is so important. I've got to say this morning, you know, there's a lot of churches and a lot of places that believe in a work salvation. They believe that you can work to get yourself to heaven, that you can do enough good things that will enable you to be, I guess, when the end comes and you're balanced on those scales of your goods and your bads, that your goods will outweigh and you'll go to heaven. Well, that's absolutely a lie. We know that works has nothing to do with salvation. We know that it is important that, and I know everybody understands that here. Over in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which hath before ordained that we should walk in them. These things I know we know here that works has nothing to do with salvation, but yet there is so much that is involved in it. Though that works itself did not have anything to do with getting us saved, there was a lot of work done that we might be saved. There was a lot of work done. There was a lot of work done in my life that enabled me to hear the gospel. There was people that come in just like this church, and they sit up and they had tent meetings and they had revivals, and there was an interest there in doing the Lord's work, and they built a church. And there was a man that was come and he pastored that church and he told those people about God. And it went down through there like that. And there was a church there that was built by these people through their work, through their efforts. It was supported by them and directed by God. And when I got to that age of accountability, I got to hear a God-called preacher preach the truth of God's Word to me. And it convicted my heart. And the Lord saved my soul when I repented. But there was a lot of effort and there was a lot of work that went into it. There was a lot of prayers from brothers and sisters, no doubt. That is a work. Prayer is a work. It was a lot of work that went into my salvation. There's a lot of work that went into your salvation. There's a lot of effort that has come down through time. There's a lot of people that have given their lives, literally given their lives, working for the truth that you and I might have that truth today, and that we might be workers for God and go out that other lost souls might be saved. It's essential. Missions of this church are essential for this church to keep going. It has to grow. You know, it has to grow. If it does not grow, I mean, it's just a cold, blunt fact. If the church never grows, all the older people are going to soon eventually die off. And when everybody dies off and it has never grown, then what's going to be there? The people make up the church, not this building. You know, this building may be here long, long after all of us that are here is gone. But is it going to be teaching the truth? Is there going to be a body in Christ that is here that is standing for the truth of God's Word or not? Well, it depends on our works. It depends on our works and our efforts. It's laid upon us this day and this time. It is our responsibility. It's not somebody else's. It's not another church or one in particular member or the deacons or the pastor. It is the whole body of Christ that He has put together. It is their work. It is their mission. And it's never changed. Everything is, you know, is so essential. The Bible speaks so many different times of and says so many different things about works. Jesus said in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew in the 13th verse, it says, or actually we'll start reading in the 16th verse. You shall, 15th, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their works. Their fruits, their works. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot. Listen, a good tree, somebody that has been saved by God's grace, has the love of God applied to their heart, is truly one of God's people, a child of God, that loves the Lord. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. We're known by our fruits. We're known by our efforts. We're known by our works. What we say and what we do and how we live out of this church. Now, I know many of us, we know each other inside the walls. But there's a world of people that knows us outside these walls. Are we the same people outside these walls as we are on the inside? Because that's what we're known in our missionary work, in our efforts that we reach out to those that are lost. That's how we are known to this world. You think so many things about what kind of Savior would Jesus have been without works, without all that He did. I mean, and He did so much. He did more than any person could ever do. He did it all for us. What would He have been had He been someone that chose not to do nothing? We'd all be lost in our sins, doomed for a devil's hell right now. The Bible tells us about, in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelations, in the 17th verse, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The Spirit and the bride. Each and every one of us that is a member of the Lord's church is classified as a part of the bride. If you're truly a member, a saved, baptized member of the Lord's church, you're classified as the true bride of Christ. It doesn't specify here in that verse that the preacher invites them to come. The preacher in the Spirit invites them to come. Or the deacons in the Spirit invites them to come. It says the bride, the church, come. That's what we need to be doing. Come if you're thirsty. Come and hear about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me, what He did when He saved my soul. It's truly a mission work. It's important. You know, those back into our reading here, those that feel and understand that they're judged by a righteous judgment of God, they have the strongest feeling or the strongest urge or of necessity to do what is right and to live a holy life. Those of us who have been saved by God, we have the strongest urges. We have the strongest direction to live a holy life. Why? Because we know what God is. We know who He is, and we understand His power and His authority. We understand about God. Or at least, I hope we do. And we know that He is in control of us. When you look back over in the book of James again, in the first chapter, it says in verse 22 through 25, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." If we just look in the mirror and we don't see anything but ourselves and we think that we're okay, then there's no need for an improvement, is there? But when we look in that mirror and we look at it through the words of God, how He looks at us and how He looks upon sin, and when we look at ourselves through all this, and when we put ourselves under that magnifying glass, it enables us to see ourselves for what we are. It allows us to know and to look under that perfect law of liberty. And we don't want to be a forgetful hearer. We want to remember and we want to do what God would have us to do. Because when we do that, it says this man shall be blessed in his deed. When we do what we're supposed to do, the Lord blesses us. It's simple and it's plain. I'm going to finish today with a reading in the sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. The one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." You know, there's a lot of things that could be said about this. I preached on what God is. Here, Uzziah saw the vision of the Lord. I preached on sin. I believe that His Word and His preaching makes sin visible in our lives. I preached on cleansing. It's important that when we see and understand the cleansing that we need in our lives because of our sins, that we repent of that and we get it made and we get it cleaned up before God. We take care of these things in His service that He brought out here in this eighth verse. Our service to God is important. Our service to the mission and to the work of this church is essential. It's so important to the life of this church. Our mission and our work, you know, this is not mission impossible. With the Lord's help, we can reach people that lost souls will be saved. We can reach family. We can reach friends. We can reach neighbors. We can reach people that they'll be saved. But it's so important that we put forth that effort. Be mission-minded, not just missionary giving, which I feel is a very important role that our churches play. Don't get me wrong. But be mission-minded about your lives on a day-to-day basis. That lost souls, that love that's shed abroad in our hearts, you know, we want to shed it. We want other people to know it and feel it and understand it the way that we do. And that can only happen through salvation of their soul. God bless each and every one of you is my prayers, and that is my thoughts for today. I pray that the Lord would use it and bless it. Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart. If not, is there practice again today after the service? Yes, sir. Practice today after the service. Tonight, all that can and will, please come back. Brother James Jones is going to come tonight, and he's going to show us some pictures of his missionary trip to Africa when he went over there. And from Brother Tom Alande and Sister Sarah that came here, he preached at our church, and he's going to come tonight, and I think it'll be very interesting for everyone to come. He said we could just down in the basement. He's going to show. He's got pictures that he took. That he's going to show slides of things and explain things. So we'll just meet down in the basement tonight, if that's all right with everybody. And he'll show us these things and explain these things to us. I'm also trying to remember there was some other things. I know at the end of this month, the 30th, the last day, and the first of next month is the Siloam Association, which is going to be at Maple Grove number 2 up in Lafayette this year. It's going to be held there. I know those same 2 days also, there's going to be a Victory Men's Retreat like they had last year, if anybody would like to go to that. But those are all the things that I can think of. I don't know if anybody else has any other announcements or anything that needs to be said before we're dismissed.
Tuesday night is our ladies' fellowship. I'm going to be the speaker. I'd love for all the ladies to come out and join me. Hopefully we'll have some visitors. We've been really blessed with that. And if anybody's able to help with snacks, if you could just let me know.
All right. Tuesday night, ladies' fellowship. Be in prayer for that.
Please.
Also, Brother Hunter, I noticed that yours put in the flyer about Mount Calvary having a Wednesday night study, women's study. Well, it's not just women, it's men and women. Yeah. They're splitting off into two groups.
That's my mistake. Sorry about that. Sorry about that, Joyce. I'm going to give you all the right information.
Wednesday night study at Mount Calvary, right? Ends and wins. Anything else? If not, I'll stand and we'll be dismissed. If you're visiting with us today, we're glad you came.
Amen.
Hope you come back.
Brother Burke, you're dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another day. Thank you for bringing us together once again in our midst. Thank you for the message we heard. We just pray for this church that we would be thankful for thee, given the honor and glory.